item number 13. From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, providing a verbal informational report regarding psychiatric crisis services and the Circle Drive at the Behavioral Health Complex. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Kubicek. Welcome back.
Great to be here. Supervisor or Chairwoman West requested a verbal report in terms of some issues that have been coming up with various law enforcement entities, specifically related to wait time getting into the psychiatric emergency room. This has been an issue that our staff has been in contact with the entity called MCLEA, which is essentially the Police Chiefs Association for the all the municipalities of Milwaukee County. And this issue has also gone in front of the Council on Mayors. The Director of Crisis Services, Amy Lorenz, has met with representatives of MCLEA, as has the Medical Director of the Crisis Services, Dr. Tony Thrasher, on a couple of occasions so far this year. And they have really tried to get a good handle as to what the extent of the problem is. And there's a few probably not insignificant changes in terms of process that we have over the course of the last 6 months initiated in the emergency room that will contribute to an increased wait time, and it's something that we will not be changing. So I just think that that's important for this board to hear, is we acknowledge excessive wait times are exceedingly problematic, and we will try to minimize that to the greatest extent possible. However, we have now started a triage assessment by our nursing staff that is more comprehensive than previous to this initiation it's now a protocol that we have all our nursing staff do a full sets of vitals for every person who comes into the emergency room. We also have an electronic medical record where we're getting their full database. We are required by regulation to verify the identity of all individuals, so we're using that opportunity to verify that the individual that we believe is in front of us truly is that individual, and we use the medical record to assist in that identification. And then we also have to inventory all their property. That is something that we've done throughout the course of time in the emergency room, but that continues, so that process will continue. So we've essentially added on two additional responsibilities in that triage process. So as the crisis services did a review of the average intake time in March for approximately a week in March, and that averaged out to about 14 and a half minutes that it took to get someone from the door into PCS. I believe you've all been to PCS, so you know that there's that triage security area in PCS. That's the length of time it takes to get through that process now. That's not to say that there aren't areas that we can improve on. If there's no squads in the driveway and it's taking them a long length of time to get in, that may mean that either the emergency room is at capacity or we simply don't know that squad is there. A recent event is where a squad was kind of tucked behind a paddy wagon and we just didn't know that the squad was there, so the squad unfortunately had to sit there for approximately 40, 45 minutes before they came to our attention. So that one's on us. And we apologized and we are going to take proactive steps to avoid that from happening again. But the bottom line here is that we will commit to do this, and we will commit to do this well. But if there are three and four squads that are in front of a police officer waiting in front, they can just, you can do the simple math, and it's going to be, if it's three squads, it's probably going to be about a 45-minute wait. If there's four squads, it's probably going to be an hour wait, and we will try to process those folks through as quickly as we can, but we are also bound by our regulations that we can't take anyone in that we can't adequately treat. So we're making sure that we can adequately treat everyone that is entering into the emergency room.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
I appreciate this report. This report stems from, I don't want to say back and forth, but for lack of a better term, some back and forth that we've had with the ICC regarding the psychiatric emergency room and the Circle Drive and law enforcement and how that. And so Director Colon and I went before the ICC and did a presentation, which then I believe one of the police chiefs in the suburbs did a great deal of creative restructuring of my comments and Director Colon's comments, and was not happy with the fact that we were there discussing the fact that we're working as hard as we can. And we actually have had groups out to Mayor Tom Taylor from Franklin, the mayor of Wauwatosa, the mayor of the village president in Shorewood, and there's a couple I'm forgetting, and I apologize. But we've had groups of the mayors out, and of course the days that we bring them out, and one was a Friday, one was a Monday, there's nobody in the Circle Drive, so they don't get to see exactly how that works. And so we were trying to address a comment that was made by the mayor of South Milwaukee at an ICC meeting in January. I think a few of us were present where he said that there was a 24-hour wait in the Circle Drive for one of his officers, and I got up and said that adamantly that is not correct. And then I received a phone call from the chief who's in South Milwaukee who said it was actually 8 hours, and I said again, I don't believe that we've had any wait times that are that severe. I then sent a letter offering solutions. If you have people who are not emergency detentions, who are voluntary, to which again, the police chief in South Milwaukee called me and said, we don't get those type of people very regularly. And I said, okay. Because there's a number of diversions that are happening within the city of Milwaukee, and I believe the city of Milwaukee is pretty happy with the service that they get out at the psychiatric emergency room, so we must be doing something right. And again, this last ICC meeting, and I was on my way there and then got rerouted because my daughter had an accident, the police chief from South Milwaukee was there, and again, like I said, I believe took a lot of the directors and my comments out of context and painted a not very nice picture of what goes on in the Circle Drive. And so I wanted to put this item on the agenda so that we all, especially Supervisor Taylor representing a municipality other than Milwaukee, would be up to speed on what exactly is going on, what is the procedure. Again, we talked about the zero deferment. What is it? Starts with the D.
Diversions.
So zero diversion hours doesn't mean that nobody's sitting out there waiting. What that means is nobody is being rerouted. We used to in the Circle Drive of the past, people would wait for a number of hours, and then they would be told, we're sorry, now you have to go here. And Sinai Samaritan was one of the places that would take, and there's other places. And we knock on wood, have gotten it down to a science so that we're not doing that. That's what zero diversion hours means. I don't know if the mayor thought that it meant that we were saying that nobody waits. Obviously, if you come a peak time Friday night, Saturday, you know, you're going to have people that are sitting there and waiting, and so that's not what that means. So So I just wanted to make sure, again, that we were all on the same page. We all had the information that we need in order to be able to move forward and get past this discussion, hopefully, especially with the ICC.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, Amy Lorenz, Director of Crisis Services at BHD. I just wanted to add some information that Mr. Krupicek went through and also to statements that Supervisor West has had, you know, conversations with the municipalities, the law enforcement, the mayors, has been so gracious to have them come out and go through tours, which has been a great experience. What Mr. Krupicek referred to is that in June of last year, we did change our procedure at the front door to the emergency room to PCS to increase our ability to triage individuals for emergent medical needs at the door. We are a standalone psychiatric facility. We have many, many individuals who come to our door with medical complications, who come to our door and we find out that they've had an overdose and they were not previously medically cleared. Individuals who may be actually experiencing delirium, which is a medical condition that can look like a psychiatric condition. So due to this and the standard of care that we want to have at BHD, we increase the amount of triage that occurs and are doing it at the front door so that people can expeditiously get the emergency medical services that they need at another medical hospital. So that occurred in June and was a slight change for the law enforcement agencies to get used to. Then in December, our emergency medical record implementation was a whole new experience, especially for an emergency room to go through. We knew that it would impact our times for processing people through. People need to understand it completely changed our procedures from our security guards and how people are checked for security to how property is being identified and tagged to nursing, being able to do an assessment to identifying individuals at our front door. So those two things coming together kind of had this cumulative effect. But during that time, we worked as much as we could on our procedure to improve things. And that is why, you know, just last month when we did that audit, we have found that we've gotten the time down to 14 minutes and 35 seconds, which we are very, very happy with because taking in the fact that now our staff are identifying individuals at the door. And that's extremely important for people's ongoing medical care. If a person is identified incorrectly or they have another medical record created, so say we have this individual in our system, but one of the years on the date of birth was off. It gets entered, they get a new emergency medical record. That means when we are assessing these individuals, we don't have all of their prior information. So it's very, very crucial to their care that they receive in our emergency room that we identify individuals correctly. So we've worked very hard on that procedure and will continue to do so. One of the greatest impacts that definitely affects us is times when there are surges in the volume of law enforcement bringing individuals to BHD. And this isn't anything new. The fact that our busiest times are roughly 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., maybe even 3 a.m., is often the busiest time for law enforcement. During those hours, individuals are done consuming alcohol, other drugs. They're more likely to engage in activities which draw attention to law enforcement, become arrested, then state that they are now suicidal. And so that's really during a time when we have a lot of people at our doors. And so when law enforcement from MPD, from the suburbs, all kind of come at the same time, we work as quickly as we can to get people through. That's another procedure thing that we change. During those times when there's high volume, we don't rotate our nurses through the front door. We station one nurse at the door to move individuals through as quickly as possible. Another thing that has been concerning to area law enforcement has been the fact that as people are waiting, there are discharges that happen. We recognize and have asked other people to recognize the fact that we only have one door to our emergency room. So when we are doing intakes, we also need to do discharges. So if MPD comes to pick up a person who has now been cleared by us or any law enforcement agency, and now we're saying this person can go into custody, when they arrive, we look to discharge that person so they can move on in their process within the criminal justice system. Also, if we have an individual who comes to our front door who we now believe has a medical condition that they need to go to the hospital, things to another hospital, we stop to be able to have the paramedics come and take that person to be able to take care of their medical needs. These are all things that impact our door, and there are times when our emergency room, where the waiting room is actually so filled, that we have to do some discharges to be able to take people in. So these are four areas that we've really identified that are kind of impacting the wait times. And what we're working on now is to be able to respond back. Both I've been responding back with MPD. We prepared a statement for them in January that was also shared with McClia. And since that time, MPD has only brought one other complaint to the attention of BHD. They are pleased with the changes that have been made and the processes that have increased in time. And then we also respond back to any concerns raised by any police chiefs from the municipalities in real time. So we look at the concern, go back, check our logs, see what did occur, and share that information back. And we're doing this in an effort to increase our communication and to also educate the officers and the law enforcement agencies. Because one thing that we found is, you know, there are issues where people are actually talking about wait list, which is what you brought up. People kind of use the idea of, well, we had to wait 8 hours. What that really is that a person was initially ED'd, they had to go to a hospital for medical clearance, they're at that hospital for 5 hours, came to BHD, and then 30 minutes to get in. That's kind of their whole 8 hours. So they're putting together different ideas. It's not only the wait time within our Circle Drive to come in, but it's also issues of people having to wait at other hospitals. We have done a lot of efforts over the years, as Supervisor West alluded to, in that police diversions. We have not had an episode of police diversion since 2008. And in that situation is when police arrive, we tell them, our emergency room is closed, you have to go elsewhere. We have not had that happen for 5 years. Another issue is regarding hospital wait list. We use the words hospital wait list. Other area hospitals say they're closed. Their emergency rooms are closed. So just in this last quarter, Milwaukee County hospitals on average have been closed to business 7.6% of the time, going from extremes of the VA at 36% to St. Luke's at 15% and Frederick even at 10%. First quarter of 2013, PCS was closed 2.6% of the time. We are significantly below even what the average is, and that just shows all of our efforts to keep our doors open, to allow individuals to be able to get the services that need within our facility, but at the same time recognizing that there are individuals that require medical issues that have to be addressed before they come in. So I wanted to give you some of that information because I think that would be very helpful as we continue in our partnerships with the suburban law enforcement and mayors. Okay,
perfect. Supervisor Mayo.
Madam Chair, thank you. And young lady, I was listening to you when I was out, and I listened to you here today. You gave a lot of good information, but one thing that I don't like is not in writing. We need this stuff in writing. And the reason why we need it in writing, because when people come to us and ask us and have these complaints, we can share this with them. Second of all, when you talked about diversions and stuff, and we're talking about closing this mental institute, and when I said that other people want to be at the table and we have concerns, you just state how well you have done. You state how afraid are, even though it's lower than St. Luke's and the VA and the other ones, but they have some of the partners who want to take your business. And we are the ones who are going to be still holding the bag for the ones. When they close that door, we got to find somebody. We got to find somewhere to put them. I mean, this is excellent, what you just said. But when I leave here, I can't reference or go back to what you just said. I can take it all in right now.
Supervisor, we'll be happy to provide this information in written form. It was a verbal report.
I understand that. That's
we'll be happy to give it. We already have it. There's memos that we have. Not in a board report format, but if you're happy with the memo in the memo format, we'll be happy to.
I just need it because it's building, it's giving me more information. Mm-hmm. It's helping me understand what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. I can go back and relate to it, and I can regurgitate. Then you know, I have no problem calling people and asking for more information. Mm-hmm. But at least we have something there. Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, thank you for putting it on because I did not put it on. Mm-hmm. And I know the chairperson wanted this on to make sure that people understand we are doing something about the complaints and issues about law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Yes, and it's not your fault it wasn't in writing. I wanted the report, and I wanted it quickly. So information report. And for me, I take excellent notes, so I generally don't need things in writing. But I understand not everybody is in that boat. Supervisor Stanford.
No, Madam Chair, since you made that crack mark, if I have the information in front of me, I could take notes on while she's speaking. While I'm paying attention, she can tell you, I'm looking dead at her to make sure I get all, absorb all that information.
Okay.
All right, Madam Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Stemple, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Don't let people steal the floor from you.
Those were great points. So if we could reference, I don't even know from the bullet point, that would be excellent, especially when you have opportunities to present in front of ICC. If you would have, you would have brought her, they wouldn't have been able to say nothing. You would have just said what you just said right there, all those, how we accommodate and how much, you know, how our time is an efficient time. But I want to know, how many staff do you have up front? No, during the intake, how many staff do you have up there?
During an intake, there is at least one security staff member and one nurse. And if the person is in need of more, we go back and get additional resources from inside of the emergency room. There are times when we have to call for the doctor to come immediately to the front door to do an assessment to decide whether this person needs to go back out for medical care. At times, we also pull certified nursing assistants up to also help with the vitals. We pull in as we need our resources to try to make the process go through more quickly.
Okay, great. And during my tour, is that the new door area? Yeah, okay.
That was the empty door.
Okay. It's not that big if we got a lot of, you know, if we got a lot of people come in during the emergency times, it's not really that big. So that's, considering that too, that's still a good, excellent job. And
it's clear that we can only let them in one at a time. That most of the other big ERs can handle multiple admissions at the same time.
Right. And individuals, are they ever repeated individuals where it'll go quicker? You already know their diagnosis, or you already know what's wrong with them?
Madam Chair and Supervisors, what does help us is actually the identification of the individual. If it's a person who's known to us and actually known to the staff who are currently working, we're more quickly to be able to identify the individual inside of our own emergency medical records, because between our staff, occasionally some people are utilizing a different name, especially if being brought in by law enforcement, and we can be able to say that, though, this is John Doe, and be able to find the correct John Doe in our records.
Okay. And in regards to law enforcement, once we intake a client, what do they do? Are they free to leave? Because you said something about discharge. Do they have to, does the same officer take the discharge? Or what do they have to do with the discharge, and when are they able to leave?
When I was explaining that there are different times when actually we call different law enforcement agencies to be able to do a discharge from our emergency room. So that doorway and that small area, as we are taking people in, we're also putting people back out into the community. People have received the care that they needed, and now they're being discharged. So it's a back and forth, in and out of moving through that small, you know, doorway in that small area. Mm-hmm. When individuals come in to have an intake completed, as soon as the individual has been deemed to be medically appropriate to remain, has completed their intake, their initial triage, and all secured, the individual has been secured, we know that there's no dangerous items on them in their property, they're brought in, and so as soon as law enforcement have completed the emergency detention, the Chapter 51 paperwork, they're free to go. So if law enforcement come and they already have their Chapter 51 paperwork done, they can present, have this triage process happen, and leave. I also want to, I know there was a memo submitted by Chief Ann Mullins from South Milwaukee, and in there she asked many of the municipalities to express different wait times that they've had at the front door. And even within there, along with their long wait times, they even self-identified. They have had times where they have been able to have a person come in and through intake in 4 minutes, in 7 minutes. So the quicker that we're able to identify the individual, if the individual doesn't have any major medical issues, if they don't have very much property on them, that's a big issue. We have to keep in mind that many of the people that we serve are transient. Mm-hmm. They keep their property on them. Many people are also, due to their illness, have a tendency to keep a lot of items on them. That is takes a longer process, right, to go through those items, to check for weapons, and to secure things appropriately, meaning their own property versus medications and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So there are times when we're able to get through that process very quickly, and other times when it takes longer, and that's usually due to a large amount of property, or even more so, it's actually due to a medical condition that happens right at our front door, that the person is in need of emergency medical care, that our nursing and doctors are giving them care right there at the front door until paramedics can come and then take them to an area hospital.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. All right.
Madam Chair and Supervisors, if one other thing that I could add is also that myself and our director, our medical director for crisis services, Dr. Thrasher, we are going to be attending the MCLIA meeting next Wednesday. And we have offered up to MCLIA to, you know, be able to be present, to answer questions, to increase communication, and really to help their expectations of the services when they come in. I think that our ability to share some of the information that I have today will be helpful to all of them, and also for us to receive information from them to, again, to try to find any ways that we can improve our process. One thing that we are currently looking at is the issue of discharge. We're seeing if we do have any other options of being able to discharge in a different way so that we can make to have intakes come in through more rapidly. So I'm working on that with our management team to see if we can make improvements. But I just wanted to add that about the ongoing communications with the chiefs regarding their concerns.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. All right. No further comments or questions. And one last item.